Hey, Katra Podcast Conversations, for the curious, essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Katra AI. Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're digging into a book that honestly feels more necessary than ever for anyone feeling, well, swamped. It's Greg McKeown's Essentialism, The Disciplined Pursuit of Less.
It really hits on a modern problem, doesn't it? This whole culture where being busy is somehow seen as productive.
Right, like it's a badge of honor.
Exactly. But McKeown calls it an epidemic of overwhelm. We end up feeling, you know, overworked, definitely underutilized, and strangely unfulfilled, chasing too much.
And the goal here for you listening isn't some quick time management trick. It's much deeper. McKeown's pushing for a real mindset shift, a disciplined way to sort out the few really important things from all the noise, the vital few, from the trivial many, as he puts it.
And we're going to explore how that works. And let's be honest, how challenging it can be to actually live it.
Absolutely. So let's start with the author. Who is Greg McKeown?
Well, he's a British strategist, got his MBA from Stanford. He's spent years advising some really big names. Think Apple, Google, Facebook. So he comes at this with a serious, high-level strategic perspective.
But what I find really interesting is his idea of the paradox of success.
Ah, yes. That's key.
He noticed that the more successful people or companies get, the more opportunities come their way.
Right. Naturally.
But then they start saying yes to too much. Their focus gets scattered.
And it ends up hurting the very success that attracted the opportunities in the first place. They go from being great at one thing to just okay at a bunch of things.
It makes perfect sense when you put it like that.
And his commitment to this isn't just academic. There's a very personal story behind it. He talks about this incredibly painful moment.
Oh, the meeting.
Yeah, agreeing to a non-essential work meeting last minute, and it meant he missed the birth of his daughter.
Wow. That really gives the book weight, doesn't it? It's not just abstract advice.
Not at all. It shows this isn't just theory. It's grounded in some hard-earned personal lessons. Even top strategists can lose their way without deliberate choices.
Okay, so let's nail down the core idea. If we boil essentialism down, what's the main goal?
The goal is pretty straightforward. Maximum impact, minimum effort. And you get there by systematically, deliberately doing less, but doing it better. It's about focusing your energy, not scattering it.
And he draws this really sharp contrast between two mindsets, the non-essentialist. That's the default for many of us, I think.
Definitely. The non-essentialist thinks, I have to do it all. They're often driven by fear of disappointing people, maybe.
Or fear of missing out. FOMO. So they say yes almost automatically.
And the result, they make maybe a millimeter of progress in a million different directions, energy spread way too thin.
Versus the essentialist, how do they operate?
Totally differently. The essentialist thinks, I choose what to do. They actually have the courage to say no, politely, but firmly, to almost everything except the truly essential.
So all their energy goes into making real progress on just one or two key things, like one big arrow hitting the bullseye instead of lots of tiny ones landing randomly.
That's the metaphor, exactly. And the book lays out a path to get there, which is helpful.
Yeah, the four parts. First, the essence, which is the mindset. Then explore, figuring out what matters. Third, eliminate the cutting part. And finally, execute, building systems.
So let's start with S's, the foundation.
McKeown argues the first step, maybe the hardest, is recognizing our invincible power of choice. We often feel trapped, right? Like we're victims of circumstance. The boss needs this. The family needs that.
Learned helplessness, he calls it.
Exactly. But he insists we are always choosing our response, even when it feels like we aren't. Just reclaiming that sense of agency, that's step one.
Okay, so once you accept you have a choice, then comes discernment. How do you figure out what to choose?
This is where the 80-20 rule, the Pareto principle, comes in. The idea that roughly 80% of results come from only 20% of the effort.
Which implies
the unimportance of almost everything. If that ratio holds, most of what we spend our time on, maybe 80% of it, actually contributes very little value. The essentialist focuses intensely on that high impact 20%.
Makes sense. But choosing that 20% means letting go of the other 80%. That requires accepting trade-offs.
Oh, absolutely. Non-essentialists hate trade-offs.
Mm-hmm.
They ask, how can I do both?
Which is often impossible, or leads to mediocrity in both.
Right. The essentialist asks a much better, tougher question. Which problem do I want? They accept you can't have it all. He uses Southwest Airlines as a classic example.
Yeah, they deliberately didn't offer assigned seats or meals.
So they could absolutely crush it on being the lowest fare, most efficient airline. They made a clear trade-off, sacrifice in one area for excellence in another.
Okay, so making those tough choices leads us into the next phase, explore. This is about the tools for actually identifying those vital few things.
One key tool is creating dedicated space to think. He calls it escape.
Not escaping from work, but escaping to think.
Exactly. Scheduling actual uninterrupted time, just for reflection, for strategy, for seeing the bigger picture beyond the daily chaos.
And part of creating that mental space involves physical well-being too, right? Like sleep.
Yes. He's adamant about this. Sleep isn't a luxury or a sign of weakness. It's a strategic asset.
Because better rest leads to clearer thinking, better decisions.
And makes the hours you are working far more effective. It's an investment, not an expense.
Okay, so you've made space, you're rested, now an opportunity comes along. How do you decide? This is where the 90% rule comes in.
This one's pretty radical.
Right.
You pick the single most important criterion for that decision. Rate the opportunity out of 100 on just that criterion. If it doesn't score 90 or above, you automatically change the score to 0 and reject it, period.
Wow, that's quite a filter.
It is. But the logic is powerful. Anything less than a 90 is basically good enough. Yeah. And good enough fills up your life, preventing you from ever pursuing the truly great opportunities.
So it connects to his mantra.
If it isn't a clear yes, then it's a clear no. No maybes, no lukewarm commitments.
Okay, so we've explored, we've identified the essential. Now comes the really hard part for most people, I suspect. Eliminate.
This requires real courage. The first step here is setting an essential intent.
What's that exactly?
It's a goal statement that's both inspiring and super concrete. Really specific, like increase customer retention by 15% this year.
Okay, so it's clear and measurable.
And once you have that single clear target, it acts like an automatic filter for everything else. If an activity doesn't directly contribute to that specific intent, you eliminate it. Makes future decisions simpler.
Which brings us to the big one, actually saying no.
The dreaded no. McEwen emphasizes doing it gracefully, preserving relationships. He argues a clear no is ultimately more respectful than a vague, resentful yes that you can't fully commit to.
Does he give tips? Because that's tough in practice.
He does. Things like using an awkward pause after a request. Sometimes people feel the silence themselves. Or simply saying, let me check my calendar and get back to you, buys you time to formulate a polite refusal.
But let me push back a bit. In many jobs, saying no feels risky, right? How do you manage that?
He addresses that. The framing is key.
Yeah.
You're not just saying no to something trivial. You're saying yes to your essential contribution. The argument is that people who consistently deliver high-impact results because they focus, well, they eventually gain more leverage to say no.
Okay. It's a long game.
Definitely. And perhaps the toughest no is the one we need to say to things we're already doing. That's uncommitting.
The sunk cost fallacy. Throwing good money or time or energy after bad just because you've already invested?
Exactly.
Yeah.
He suggests regularly auditing your commitments. Ask yourself, if I weren't already doing this, would I start it today?
Ooh, that's a good question.
If the answer is no, you need the courage to cut your losses, uncommit, and free up those resources for something essential.
Okay, that makes sense. So eliminating creates the space. Then the final stage is execute, making it all work smoothly.
It starts with planning for reality, using buffer. Non-essentialists often plan based on best-case scenarios, which rarely happens.
Right. Then one small thing goes wrong and the whole plan collapses.
Essentialists build in buffers, extra time, extra resources, anticipating that things will go wrong. It prevents minor setbacks from becoming major derailments.
I really like the next concept, subtract.
Me too. Instead of just pushing harder against resistance,
you ask, what's the biggest obstacle here? What's causing the friction? And then you focus on removing that.
It's about making progress easier, more fluid, by removing barriers rather than just applying more force.
Which helps build progress. He stresses the power of small wins.
Yes. Focusing on achieving small, meaningful steps early on creates momentum. That feeling of progress is apparently the biggest motivator there is. Those wins build on each other.
And that leads towards achieving FLOW-W, designing routines for your essential tasks.
Right, so the important stuff becomes almost automatic. You reduce the mental energy spent deciding what to do, freeing it up for doing the work.
And the final piece is FOCS. Tuning out the noise, past regrets, future anxieties to concentrate fully on what's important now.
Win. It's like a mini filter for the present moment. Where should my energy go right now?
Okay, stepping back from the details, what are the major themes we should really take away from this?
For me, number one is just that core idea, the disciplined pursuit of less but better. It's not about laziness. It's about strategic reduction to achieve higher quality. And it takes discipline against that cultural pressure to do more.
And building on that, theme two has to be the strategic importance of space, play, and sleep. These aren't indulgences. They are crucial investments in your ability to think clearly and perform well. It really pushes back against that hustle culture glorification of exhaustion.
Totally. Theme three, I think, is elimination as a core competency.
Yeah.
We're so focused on adding things, new habits, new projects. Essentialism elevates subtraction, saying no, editing, pruning as a vital skill for making room for what truly matters.
And theme four could be called the economics of less. This powerful idea that doing fewer things exceptionally well produces results that are disproportionately better, not just a little better, but often orders of magnitude better than doing many things just adequately. It's a different kind of achievement.
The book is also full of really memorable lines, almost like mantras.
Yeah, great little filters. Let's share a few. The big one we already mentioned. If it isn't a clear yes, then it's a clear no.
Such a powerful decision filter. Rejects mediocrity instantly.
Then there's the way of the essentialist means living by design, not by default.
That's about taking control, right? Being the architect of your own life and contribution, not just letting things happen to you.
Exactly. And maybe the most liberating one. You cannot overestimate the unimportance of practically everything.
Huh. It sounds harsh, but it's freeing. It gives you permission to just ignore or delegate so much of the daily noise without guilt.
Okay, so how can someone listening apply this stuff? Like, tomorrow?
Professionally, try using that 90% rule on your next potential project or task. Ask, is this really a 9 or 10 out of 10 in terms of importance or impact? If not, maybe find a way to decline or delegate. Protect your focus.
Personally, think about social commitments. Are you saying yes out of obligation or FOMO? Try choosing quality over quantity. Invest that limited social energy in the relationships that genuinely nourish you. Fewer, deeper connections.
And for bigger decisions, practice auditing with that sunk cost question. If I weren't already invested, would I start this today? Apply it to subscriptions, projects, even draining commitments. If the answer is no, find the courage to uncommit.
What was the most valuable takeaway for you overall?
For me, it was realizing that true effectiveness isn't about cramming more into the hours. It's not time management, fundamentally. It's energy management and, crucially, choice management, being deliberate about where you invest yourself.
Yeah, I agree. What surprised me was the reframing of busyness. McCune basically calls it a form of laziness.
That's provocative.
It is. But his point is that it's easier to stay frantically busy than to do the hard mental work of stopping, thinking, and figuring out what truly matters. That takes real discipline.
So essentialism is really a guide for designing a life based on contribution, on impact, rather than just activity. Less, but better.
Precisely. Choosing what's essential and letting go of the rest.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.